The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show.
This looks like a job for me.
It's a hard way to introduce the concept of political corruption. Some call it corporatism. Others call it dark money. But it's a legal pathway, as I see it, for bribery. I don't know how you could see it anyway else. Why would a company, why would an entity give tens of millions of dollars to politicians? Why? And the answer is because it's buying them something. It's obvious when you see the backdoor nationalization of our economy. And the idea that the private sector is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. The good news is people are putting up a fight against it to expose it. My next guest is one of those people. He is the president of Capital Research Center. He served in the W. Bush administration as a special assistant to the president for domestic policy and was the vice president at Philanthropy Roundtable. He also has testified 5 different congressional committees about a specific company called Arabella. He's the author of a new book, Arabella, The Dark Money Network of Leftist Billionaires Secretly Transforming America. It's out now. He is Scott Walter. Scott, thank you for joining me. How are you?
Great to be with you, Sean.
Well, it's nice to be with you, and it's nice that you're tackling this. You know, I've been fascinated with the concept of how business has been nationalized in America. And it's funny when you realize there's very little resistance to it. In fact, there's a push to go along with it. And there's more money in politics, PACs and all the nonsense, rather than restraints being the only place they're ever supposed to be in this country on government, yet it operates unfettered. And that's a real problem, isn't it?
It's a terrible problem. And the irony is, you know, the lefties who think they're against big business, well, if you're for big government, you're always going to have people like Zuckerberg getting in bed with the big government. Big government's going to lead to a bad kind of big business based on cronyism instead of giving consumers what they want.
Now, the shame of it is, and it's been happening really since the Industrial Revolution, but the shame of it is that you're turning to your abuser for help. And the reality is this entire entity of dark money and politics is supposed to be overseen by who? The beneficiaries of corruption? And that's the position I find us in today. How do we combat it? And give us a little bit specific knowledge of Arabella, and tell us, this is a bipartisan problem as well, isn't it?
Well, generally speaking, almost everything that we track at Capital Research Center, you can find some conservatives, you know, using the same kind of mechanisms as you find lefties. But the it is, you know, inherently a problem, especially of big government, because the bigger the government gets, the more valuable grabbing those levers is. So the only real solution in the long run is to have less government.
But you're turning to the people, and you know, this is something you've been up close with. When you look at these, as I call them, political whores, some call them politicians, but the reality is it's a great gig if you're in on it. Your salary is insignificant. The real money comes in your coffer. And we've allowed this to happen. In fact, the rules are coffers outlive the politicians, and those coffers are operated by their heirs. So it's a tax-free venue of inheritance and spending, and that's why there is no such thing as a recession on K Street, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. You know, the fact that the richest counties in America cluster around D.C. tells you everything that's wrong with America.
So all you need is a sales pitch. All you need is this idea, you call yourself a consultant or you call yourself a philanthropist or an NGO. So let's focus in on this Arabella. How exactly does it work and what is it responsible for?
Sure. The way to understand the Arabella empire is think of a pyramid. At the top, you have Arabella Advisors. That's a for-profit company, and it operates the rest of the pyramid. The middle of the pyramid is half a dozen nonprofits of different types. There are a lot of types of nonprofits. And that's where the money is actually sent originally, right? Zuckerberg or Gates or somebody sends the money to one of the nonprofits. And then for the base of the pyramid, that's what people like you see out there in the hinterland, right? That's hundreds of these fake groups, like, you know, Floridians for a Fair Shake and Secure Michigan Elections, and yada, yada.
This is why, Scott, I am very proud of this. I give $0 to any of it. But the reality is they're not relying on me, because this is not about the individual. This is about a scheme where direct contributors circumvent regulations that non-contributors have to bend knee to. So how do you beat the system? How would you attack this particular issue?
Well, as you say, they don't care about you or your money, right? They're just servicing the mega donors with the fake groups. And one of the ways the fake groups have power is, it sounds like, well, gosh, there are a lot of Floridians who want whatever the heck this thing is pushing, right? When in fact, no, it's just a website on in D.C. So being educated about this, learning about it, is very helpful, because it's a Wizard of Oz effect, right? The Wizard of Oz looked really scary until the dog pulled the curtain back and you saw it's just some little guy at a microphone. Well, that's all this is. This is just some doofus in a D.C., you know, carol sitting there writing crap on their website. So when you know that it's just that junk and not a bunch of your fellow Floridians or Illini or whatnot, that really weakens them a lot.
So they've been very successful in this operation, I can assume. And I'm wondering, this also has been a pattern that's been played even by foreign entities that have the exact opposite of what American citizens want or American representatives are supposed to do. And what I'm reminded of is Soros. You see, the radio show is out of Chicago. I'm an old Chicagoan. And the reality is they've destroyed Chicago. But the other sad reality is they've destroyed every Democrat-run area and big city. And Soros has a direct hand in this. And he's not even an American. So he can give billions and billions and billions of dollars to anybody he wants, but they're going to operate at his direction. And they'll branch off in the NGOs, and they'll do things like harm the judicial system in these areas. So obviously the end goal is to destroy the peaceful tranquility and the domestic policy of our nation, isn't it?
Absolutely. And here's the thing about Soros. You're totally right how bad he is. The problem is the left has a lot of Soroses. Arabella has gotten $250 million from some guy you've never heard of, Hans-Jürg Wyss, who's a Swiss citizen. He's not an American citizen, completely illegal to be mucking in our politics, but he sends hundreds of millions of dollars into our politics.
So we have laws in place, and those laws, like you said, he can't do it, but he can do it through this scheme of vestibules of corruption like Antebellum. How do we shut that vein off? Or is that something that was under the umbrella of what many Republicans insisted we support in Citizens United? Because the more I look at that, the bigger problem I've had with it. Because it got the support of people who are supposed to be resisting dark money in it. It got the support of Republicans. And I have seen absolutely zero change for the domestic tranquility. However, it has quadrupled the amount of money in politics. So that really wasn't as good as it was sold to us, was it?
Well, you know, the thing is, it takes a long time to disentangle all of this, right? The only thing that was actually touched by Citizens United was 501c4 groups like the NRA or League of Conservation Voters and whatnot. And that still is not the biggest thing in politics, the biggest source of money in politics. There's more hard dollars given to parties and campaigns, a lot more than that. And what we have studied at Capital Research that nobody's paying attention to is the 501c3 nonprofits. That's the actual charities, legally speaking, although these are not very charitable. So they do massive voter registration, like the Zuckbuck stuff in 2020 went to charities who then went and gave it to big cities with a lot of Democrat votes and helped, you know, put their turnout on steroids. So it's a very messy, huge, sprawling problem, I'm afraid.
Well, there was a fascinating clip that I had the other day, and it was the Vice President Kamala Harris, or as she's referred to on my show, the office tramp. And she was bragging about $20 billion being in one of these omnibus bills, the latest one, funded ironically by the Republicans, that spawned $20 billion of which they could discretionarily start organizations to feed into everything from climate to immigration issues to housing. So we've also have this other problem where the government itself can act as a philanthropist, or the government itself can act as a liaison and fund NGOs. How in the world did this happen?
Well, you're totally right. That is a huge problem. There's a whole other area there, too, which is agencies will sue some corporation. They'll win in court, and then they'll tell the corporation, okay, now you're going to send that money to these NGO buddies of ours, who are going to turn around and demand more government and more regulation and all this. By the way, that Hans-Jürg Wiese guy, he wrote checks to friends of Dick Durbin back in the day, but unfortunately the statute of limitations has expired before it was all caught.
Scott, listen, this is the beauty of being from a once great city that spawned everything from the stockyards to the stock market and the commodity exchanges and insurance companies. And you see it now, it's a barren wasteland. But what you can learn from being a part of this is the cancer that destroys everything. It will do what the Soviet Union dreamt of doing. It will backdoor nationalize life itself. And in there lies the problem. But when you look at it from your experience, from your years of dealing with it, I refer to government as a Leviathan. And it plays both sides. And we have this illusion of a representative republic. But when you look at these guys, you really only have to corrupt 435 congressmen, 100 senators, and a vice president and a president. So 537 people are making all of these rules. And these people have navigated through decades of laws that most of them haven't read. But really, we are in this position where the only people who are bound by the rules, taxation, regulation, are the people who don't contribute. So how do you beat it back at this point?
Well, you're right. It's not at all a simple thing. And the goal has always got to be less government, period, because you're right. Anybody who's trying to get those hold of those levers is not to be trusted.
And don't you think this is the fault of the resistance to it? Because we adopted something that I find amazing, and smart people know this, and business people have navigated it, and that's why it's a convoluted tax system. But we adopted the concept of the number two plank of the Communist Manifesto in a progressive tax, which isn't meant to do anything other than keep the individual or the company compliant, because we've also adopted something the country wasn't built on. Double, triple, quadruple taxation. And we just give up the principle of the argument. And we have this thing called corporate tax. There is no such thing as a corporation. Corporations are a legal protection for the entities and the interests in it. So I'm wondering, do these groups, like this particular company, do they pay taxes? Does anybody looking to tax Arabella, do these NGOs pay taxes? How do they circumvent the eye of a government that wants to tax corporations that are responsible for blessings of the private citizen? How can we put the focus on this tax-free entity, this entire industry that exists?
Well, you are totally right. The billions of dollars that flow through the Arabella network, almost all of that money is actually running through nonprofits that do not have to pay any tax, as you say. Now, the for-profit company that's at the top of the pyramid, they have to pay some tax just because they're a regular old company. But the vast majority of the money is carefully kept in nonprofit entities that don't have to pay taxes.
Now, you spent your life at the philanthropy roundtable, right? I mean, I'm assuming you've navigated the challenges of America and capitalism and done well for yourself. It's got to be difficult to be around these people who've never really worked a day in their lives, yet are able to amass this untaxable fortune. And when you see politicians who claim to be Lunchbox Joe and the rest of it, how hard is this just like a whisper secret in Washington, D.C., where everybody knows that everybody's worth tens of millions of dollars? I'm curious what it's like. I've never been there because I've never hated a pair of shoes that much. What is it like to be on the ground with these political whores and their little luncheons and their dinners? I mean, I'm guessing Washington, D.C. and the inner circle is recession proof and everybody's doing well, right?
Well, you know, Charles Murray has the what he calls super zips, right, which are the most elite zip codes in the country in terms of income and education. And in the D.C. area, there's more of them than any other place on the whole country. You can drive 70 miles or be driven 70 miles around D.C. and never leave a super zip. And that tells you, again, everything you need to know. What's wrong with the country?
Are you still involved? Are you still in the Washington, D.C. area, or did you have your fill of it? I'm curious.
Well, I live in America outside the Beltway, but my office, I confess, is, you know, 8 blocks from the White House downtown.
Yes. So when you see the push by people to kind of straighten out the idea of dark money in politics, are they doing it the smartest way? What's the smartest way to push against this?
Well, it is really tricky because, right, like I'd be happy to end the income tax, but as long as there's an income tax, I don't object to there being a charitable sector, right, in principle. But some of the reforms that would make sense are, one goes right after that Hans Wiese billionaire guy. That would be if a 501c4 political nonprofit takes foreign money, then it cannot give money to super PACs. That's not a hard, that's an easy one, right? And nobody wants foreign, left, right, and center, nobody wants foreign money in our politics. Another one would be that C3s can't do the voter registration, which they currently can do, and that's the left's single biggest weapon for winning elections.
When you see the evidence of the Chinese Communist Party and the way in which they've been able to launder money and hire bagmen that are related to politicians, this is somehow something that there has the plausible deniability that Joe Biden's brother bragged about. But when you see UPenn used as a pass-through of corruption and this phony entity that pays Joe Biden just under $1 million, isn't that an easy one to tackle? The fact that politicians and their relatives should not be lobbyists, because it's funny, you mentioned, as he's known on my show, little Dick Durbin, but Dick Durbin to normal people. His wife, portly though she may be, doesn't look like she gets out much, but she's a very successful lobbyist. So shouldn't that kind of scandal, skullduggery, be forbidden in this country? Because he also has a cousin, a nephew, who's a lobbyist. How many politicians have spouses and relatives that are lobbyists? Do we know that?
Oh, again, that's the whole point. And you're completely right to say that this is very incestuous in the D.C. area with people at this, you know. In fact, that's one of the things we track is marriages, because you can make a lot more sense of what happens in D.C. if you're tracking who's married to whom or whose kid's working for whom and all the rest.
I don't know how you walk around there, Scott. You must go home and shower like Cher in that movie with a fire hose. How do you do it?
Well, you know, I got a lot of Scott's blood, so I love a fight, and I don't mind having a big bag at enemy as long as I get to fight.
Well, listen, I think this is a wonderful thing you're doing by exposing it in your new book, Arabella. But I'm assuming there's other investigations you have going on, because this is kind of what you've been around, and this is what you like to tackle. Where can my listeners go to see all of the evidence that you're releasing, and not just in the book, Arabella, Dark Money Network of Leftist Billionaires? But to just keep an eye on just, you know, because there is no index. The average guy spends his life working, listening to his wife and kids, trying to earn enough and work out from under it, which is why it's almost a perfect system to have this little Caligula for nerds and corrupt political whores called Washington, D.C. So I'm hoping, is it an index you're putting together? Is there a way to look at it all?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I would say we have two websites I'd really suggest. One, there really is an index, just like you said, influencewatch.org. Influencewatch.org. That is Wikipedia of the left and special interests in general. Unions, foundations, advocacy groups, etc. I warn you, when you get there, you're probably going to lose 5 hours of your life because you're going to run down all these rabbit holes. But it's a beautiful, powerful website with thousands and thousands of entries on all kinds of bad guys. And then at our regular website, capitalresearch.org, you can go and sign up for our weekly e-newsletter, which is not a begging letter for money. It's just, hey, here's the greatest hits of the last week in our research. So,
Scott Walter, really, thank you for this. This is crucial knowledge for people to have, because you need that knowledge to understand exactly how many arms and legs the Leviathan has. Scott Walter, I really appreciate you coming on. Thank you.
Great to be with you, Sean.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.